Bob Atkinson, Real 2. You were talking about firing the 303 on target practice or something, Bob.
Okay. And yep. I say we went from 200 yards, I think it was to 6. But when you got to 4, you had to click your side, because it was just a click side. It was 2 and 4. 100. And then as you moved, you just had to join this, but the put signs up for the indicator. So I swung it around it with a magpie, but it was black and white.
Yeah.
Black and white, that was a magpie.
Yeah.
And then the point is that, but if you missed, you just wave it. You missed the target. But there was checks in the books, checking.
Yeah. That was the 303. What about, did you fire the Bren at that stage?
The Bren at the same time.
Same time?
The same time down on the range. Yes. We had our whole, each company had went down for the day.
And how was that fired? Well, what sort of practice they give you on that, Bob?
They give you that single shot. You could fire a single shot, but it was a lot better. You'd better position we have in the bipod. You know, the front was out, your other hand was near to you. Two hands were near together, one on the boat and one on the pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, you're showing there that one is over the top of the
butt. One's like that, one's on the pistol grip.
So you found it more comfortable to fire?
Oh, it was more accurate and all. It was a very accurate gun. Yes.
And powerful?
I was a marksman on that.
You were a marksman?
I wouldn't put a rifle. I was reasonable. Second class.
So you're already proving to be a good shot on the Bren gun. But that was single shot. Did you then go over to shooting whatever bursts, is it?
Well, I think we only had the... magazine, I can't remember. Just put, I think it was 15 in, and you had to fire short bursts of 3. So it would be 5 bursts, wouldn't it?
There were 15 in the magazine?
Yes, I can't remember whether it was 15 or 18, but they didn't fill the magazine. The full magazine used to put 28, although it was 30 to save the spring. Spin after spin. But it was this certain amount. I don't know whether it was 3 bursts of 3 or 5 bursts of 3. Can't just remember how many. But you had to down along with it for the burst. But it just gave you that burst action.
And how the weapon felt, I suppose.
Yes, that's what I mean, you know, but it didn't kick. I don't know, it started pushed you.
So do I take it you enjoyed firing the Bren gun?
I did, yes.
So you've gone through your weapons training.
The small weapon, and then we had the 2-inch mortar.
Okay, you did that as well.
Yes. But we were only firing dummy bombs. And then the Piat. We fired the Piat with dummy.
That was anti-tank?
Anti-tank.
Bob, wasn't it?
The Piat anti-tank. And two dummy grenades, one live grenade. You're allowed to throw one live, but you would practice with dummy ones. And the stick bomb was taken. Shown a stick bomb and shown how it works, but we didn't. The old company, there was only one stick bomb for it. To show the company. And they had, bits of telegraph pole. And they put it up, rubbed the sticky stuff, stuck the bomb, and then made it let go of the handle and run.
Oh, that's how it works. You stick it through.
Told you how it worked. Told you how it worked, and then he went and demonstrated. But we never Mm. When the NCO did that, mm. we never did the same. But mm. we did fire the Fiat mm. and the 2-inch mortar.
Were they satisfactory weapons, would you say? Well, your opinion at that stage?
When you saw the other, there were a big obstreperous thing with a Fiat.
Mm.
Mm. I mean, when you see the bazookas that the Yankees had, you know, you could pull them up to your shoulder, you couldn't get down the man behind you.
But that was a bit later on, though, wasn't it?
No, the bazookas come in.
They had them at that point.
They were using bazookas.
Okay.
Hmm. And but before that, I believe that the boys had the tank rifle, which was only 0.5,
hmm.
only like half inch.
Hmm.
Like the Fiat was a great improvement from that, because it would go through thick and arm.
Yes. Yeah. So you have your weapons training. How long did your training last?
We did 6 weeks, just like basic and just learning. And then we did 10-week core. We were doing night patrol and going out. And you did your main 10-mile cross matches and 2-mile with running and all these sort of things to see if you're fit
mm.
after your 6 weeks. That was to build you up with your 6 weeks.
Mm.
And we went on field firing courses. There were stems, or you fired the stem as well.
Mm.
The field firing courses, you fired at targets mm. in the sand dunes.
What was a stem like, Bob?
Well, I didn't make note on it.
Mm.
It made a noise. And it was all right, you heard me enough.
So you're saying it wasn't really accurate?
No, it wasn't accurate.
Mm. But,
it was there, it did its job.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So what time are we now? What sort of year are we now?
Still 43.
And what part of 43?
We did 16 weeks, so...
Yeah.
In July 16.
So 4 months from four July. Months. So you're back end of the year?
Yes, October.
Back end of the year. The 43. Yeah. So have you got your...
It's October.
Yeah. Have you got your unit yet, or are you shortly to get posted?
We were posted, then to a unit.
And where did you get posted, sir?
Shoreham.
And which unit was down there?
First Fort South Lanks.
First
Fort South Lanks.
So that was your first unit?
Yes.
And what was your job then at that stage?
Well, I'm just ordinary rifleman and D Company.
Rifleman D Company, okay. So this is, got to think, this is end of October, November 43. Is there any talk on the horizon about going over to France?
Oh, well, there was plenty of talk about the second run, but it wasn't nothing really that you could put your finger on, because the unit had been down there quite a while when I joined it, and they'd been doing guards on Brighton Beach and Shoreham blocks around the dock area in Shoreham. We used to do every night with the guard.
Yeah.
We used to do the front guards in two boxes with twin buoys for low flying aircraft coming in. We used to do them sort of guys, and we were there till just before Christmas in December.
Yep.
We moved to Northern Ireland.
Right. And what was that for in Ireland, Bob? More training, or?
Well, more training, but it was for rest away from the guards. They couldn't put training in, you see, so well.
Mm. Yeah.
But there were no other guards down on the beach, there was beach patrol, there was lock guards, you were on your, you think you got one night off a week. Not Gurney.
Whereabouts in Northern Ireland was that?
Carrick, Fergus.
Right. And how long were you there?
April the 1st, I think I was moved. No, a couple of, joined the new unit April the 1st.
Oh, April the 1st, 40.
So we left at 43.
44.
We'd have to travel from Northern Ireland, so we got set up on the match. Set up in March.
Yeah. And which new unit was this that you joined?
1st Battalion East Lancs.
Okay. And you joined that when, Bob? In which month?
April.
Yeah.
April the 1st, 1944. And they were shooting them.
It didn't worry you that that was April the Fool's Day, did it?
Oh, no. Because we left in March. Someday in March, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Because we had to come across on boat, and I couldn't tell you what time we left Ireland. But I know we travelled down the night. It was dark when we started travelling, I'll put it that way. And it was dark when we got to Sittingbourne.
So did you go down your own to Sittingbourne, or were there other people went with you?
No, there was a daft. Daft, I couldn't tell you. It was yo.
Yeah.
You know, different companies, that's how they started them out. Just counted what he wanted, did the same, and he put, put his hand down. You're getting that truck, you're getting that. We didn't know which company we were going to. And we landed there.
So when you got there, you were posted to a company, were you?
Yes.
Which one was that?
A company.
A company.
Yes, in Borden.
Did you have
a village.
In where?
A little village just outside the shore.
Right.
It's a village. Sittingbourne.
Sittingbourne, yeah. And A company, platoon? What platoon?
Seven
platoon A company. And now you were to meet your new mates, presumably, because...
Put us in a tent.
In a tent.
Put us all in a tent. There was a spare tent, the marquee put up. And there was the double bunks. And he just said, get in there. The blanket's on bed. The mattress on bed. Straw one.
Straw mattress.
Straw mattress, and get yourself up to the bed. Or tell him I've got something to eat first. Something to eat.
And then, so that was Sittingbourne. And is it very secure in Sittingbourne, or is you've got a lot of freedom there to move about?
We were in a farm. We were in a farmhouse. There was wire around it. There was a yard on the front. And gate. And just like the farm gate. There was a yard in there. And there was some wood nuts, but they were just at the time there was some trying to leave. And there were people that weren't A1 who did that for it. There's one or two, I think, over the age in the battalion that were regular soldiers, and they weren't. They were above the age group. We knew something was moving there. They were above the age group around there abroad.
Yeah. So the next, I suppose, big date here is approaching D-Day, isn't it? Because
scrambling nets on the grass. Like I wouldn't say alone, because you can't say alone in a farm. It was like a little cops, a little paddock, with some wood trees at one end. There were scrambling nets put up, and there was something to do with boats was going on then.
Yes. So at that stage, are you thinking about your equipment and how your equipment should be? Is going to be worn, and the sort of equipment you're going to have to carry, and so on.
Well, there's things happened that we had a medical, and they were put in dock.
You were
put in.
Yeah.
Put in dock. had a bad toe, and it was abscess on it, and MO sent me to hospital at oh, it's come to me.
Yeah.
He sent me into hospital anyway.
Yeah.
And it was a lady doctor, a major in the army, a lady was lady I'd seen in the army. He was a lady doctor here in Turkey. At Tunbridge Wells. And it was a wonder to Kasala. Converted to Kasala. All little rooms.
Yeah. And you've got this something wrong with your foot. Mm. Were you hoping that maybe this will get you out of the army, Bob?
No, I didn't. Got no thoughts at all. I'm going to get even better.
Oh, right, okay.
And it turned out I had tinea.
Tinea?
Yeah, which is a germ off the duck boards. And it's little blisters on the bottom of the foot. And I don't know the upset is dirty.
But they sorted themselves out in time?
Oh, yes, yes. They put silver nitrate on and the feet went brown. My toenails dropped off. And it was in about a fortnight.
It's not a nice, thing to happen to an infantryman, is it? That sort of thing, is it?
And I had some ointment to put on them after. And I was allowed to wear socks in the army, which you never wear, to keep the ointment off the bed blanket.
And what, wear socks in bed?
I was allowed to wear socks in bed. I was a chicken. And the corporal wouldn't say, when I come back, the corporal thought he was pulling his leg when he told me to get out of bed with my socks on. And he put me on the chair. He wouldn't listen to me. I had the chicken and I showed the. I wanted to show him a wooden crook. And he. Anyway, I was on the chair, Major Griffin, he had a look. And he said, he played out with Corporal wasting his time. I said, why didn't you look? He said, I thought he was pulling your leg.
But you eventually get out of hospital.
Mm.
Your foot's okay.
Yeah, that was, I was on cool out for a bit, just pottering about.
But then you go back to.
Oh yes, ordinary duties.
Yeah. And is there more training still at that stage, which is yeah. to be geared to what you're going to be doing later?
Yeah. Well, you can act on all the time. Every time you end on rope match, you worry. Steel helmet. Chatty.
You were called what?
Chatty.
Chatty. Why did they call it Chatty?
Well, it was a regular battalion, you see, and they've been in India, and Chatty is what they use.
Oh, I see.
If Chatty gets, it's either Urdu or Hindustani or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a Chatty.
A Chatty.
Yeah. Chatty's a T-Rat. A steel helmet.
Okay.
I'll just call it the Chatty.
So, when do you hear the first news of D-Day itself?
When the stock was drawn out, no, all leave was cancelled. Yeah. We were due for leave again. All leave was cancelled. The lad that made arrangement to get married, we must stop and let the lad, the girl was pregnant, they let them go.
Yeah.
But she wasn't. To get the note off doctor to say she was pregnant.
Yeah.
That would be a month before.
Yeah.
3 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. And then you hear the news. The news comes through in some way that landings have been made.
No.
No?
No, we moved before that.
Right.
Yes, to start with waterproofing old trucks. Did that a couple of times. Because he told us how long he was in the truck. And then we were sent to J-10. I think it was the day before D-Day.
Right.
Transit camp. To New Haven.
New Haven.
about somewhere in that, I couldn't tell you where, but we didn't travel so long to the boat. We went to buy there from the boat,
so
somewhere around the way.
So did you think you might be going over sort of with the first lot or something at that stage?
We should have gone over on the second day, with the second wave, which we should have been D1, to when we were booked for it. Because we were standing through every day, you know, all the kit was ready, and then they stand down, stand through next day. And when they got stand down, we used to do a bit of training, field firing, field craft. Not no actual firing, you know, the positions. Field craft, moving up.
So the next day then that you arrive at J10, that's when you hear the news?
Well, we saw the aircraft going.
Right.
We heard the aircraft going over and knew something was going on.
But they could presumably have been just bombers.
But well, we saw them in daylight. After daylight broke early in the morning, you see them still going. You could tell because the fighters, a lot of fighters going across, too many. For just a bombing raid.
And then the news breaks?
Oh yes, you come on. With no outside contact at all. No telephone, there's no nothing. We had to, what you were told. We had to believe what they said. It must have come on the news. Or the officers got the information we got. Told the our officers landing had been made. That was when we were standing told they were the following day. We were told we would be standing to go over the next day.
And were you part of a division at that stage?
Don't think so. I think we were an independent brigade.
Okay.
7-1 brigade. I don't think the whole division was like it. On the same Santa Road. I know when we landed, we were told we were 7-1 brigade.
Okay. So how long now did this last, this situation of you waiting in J10 to go?
Oh, well, 21st to 22nd of June.
Okay. So were you getting very anxious now? Because after expecting to go a day after D-Day...
Maybe a day, you were stood too, ready to go.
Okay.
Until you got word.
So you had to be almost at an immediate state of readiness, pretty much, wouldn't
you? Yes, until you got to stand down for the day. Which might be 10 o'clock, it might be 2 o'clock. That was when it made you fed up. You couldn't do anything.
And was there any... Do you remember the first time that the news came through of the actual landings themselves and how they were doing and so on and what your thoughts were?
No, not really. I was wondering why they weren't going to. And it was when we got on the boat, which was the SS Longford, that was a Northern Ireland packet, we got told that there were that many landing craft damaged on the beach. They were short of ships, they flew across.
So you got on the Longford, did you say about the 22nd?
Yes, the 22nd, it would be, about the 22nd, because I think it was the 20th, they landed the next day.
23rd, 24th, somewhere around there, wasn't it?
23rd, yeah. On my reckoning.
Yeah, okay. And what about the journey over, Bob? You know, the journey, you're on Longford, you're going across the channel.
Yes, we went to, we had the aircraft action. You know, we arrived on the Wren and with Jack Gibson. a man called Jack Gibson. He was from Cleveland. And he was mending me. I was number two at the time. And we took our turn to take up action. There was a little old chick, you know. I don't know how many bends there was. But there was so many up all the time. We got the lead.
Mm.
They split them into two ships.
Mm.
To umpire.
This is, was this looking out for, what were you looking out for?
Echo.
Okay.
You know, it's in the fighters, the dive bombers on the way out, and the way up now.
Did you, what we, did you see much going across the channel? I mean, what can you remember seeing going across?
There was plenty of warships about.
Mm.
Few warships about. We, there was the Lady Man, I think it was, and Ben McCree in front of it.
Mm. Mm.
There was three in a convoy.
Mm.
They were going across together, and there was some standard, these players or corvettes or whatever. Small.
Mm.
Small warships.
Yeah, yeah.
Went across there.
Yeah.
And then we knew when we were getting close, because I think Nelson was there, and Revenge, a few big ones.
Big boats.
Big ones were firing.
They were firing their guns.
Oh, yes, they were firing their guns.
Was
they,
that?
They were firing in. I think they were trying to fire a can.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, you know, their area.
You didn't know that at the time?
Oh, no, no.
I guess.
But they were using them, their big guns to get the range.
Mm.
They had a bigger range than the guns on the beach.
Mm.
The guns on the land, anyway.
What was the noise like? Was it very noisy, or what's...
when they went, when they fired. Deafened
you. Deafened you?
Yeah.
Did then, did... What about the boat? Did it affect the boats in any way that you were going over on?
No, not really.
No.
Not really. But they were a fair way away, but mm. they're still left me, you know.
Mm.
If they fired, if you'd said something to me, I wouldn't have done what you said.
And what about the state of the sea? What was the sea doing?
Well, reasonable. It wasn't calm. But it, mm. They were making the old boat do a bit of weathering.
Did you feel all right there? Did you feel all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you getting anxious at all?
When I saw where the scrambling net was going.
When which?
When I saw where the scrambling net was going on the side.
How was it going?
Well, we were pressed down. The first lot went down on the Little Landing Craft Infantry. They had them on the, where the lifeboats used to.
They were known as LCIs, LCIs, were they?
LCIs, yeah. Mm. Small, LCIS, small.
Mm.
They took a platoon.
Mm. So, describe this ascent down these landing craft nets then.
Oh, scrambling nets. Scrambling nets. One time, your fingers and feet were being knocked up against the ship side, and the next side you were nearly upside down. There was nothing against them, nothing to hold them steady.
Where the, okay, so they weren't tied at the bottom?
No, no. There was a man with a boat hook. A boat hook,
mm.
trying to hold it. You can imagine when the ship was rocking, a boat with a boat hook. Because his ship was rocking, he was a little one. It was going, it was up and down like this, need a boat hook.
So you're going down a scrambling net, which is swaying from the side of the boats.
No, the boat was swaying.
Yeah.
The scrambling net was...
staying straight.
But it was your weight.
Yeah.
That was making it go...
Yeah. But then also you had the, from what you said there, you've got the sea.
Yes.
Up and down. Yes. Elements.
Oh, yes. With a little boat. Need all the, with the scrambling. All the scrambling net with the boat hook, so it's... It's doing too much then.
And have you got much equipment with you?
Oh, like mules. Everywhere.
Mm.
Big pack.
Mm.
Police at the point. Mm. Big pack, small pack. Spare barrel. 150 rounds.
Because the weapon you've got is a Bren gun.
I was number two on the Bren. I had the spare barrel at the time.
Mm.
I had eight. I had utility pouches, my own pouches, and they had two Bren magazines, so I had eight Bren magazines, 150 round of ammunition, a shovel. And all other equipment, normal equipment. I had my rifle as well.
So you're going. So as a pit pony and a mule, you're going down this net, and you're trying. Are you? How do you get into the boat?
Jump. You had to jump off, and then you went down all down some steps. It was a flat top, and you went down to come in the both ends.
So how far have you got to jump?
When you thought you were there.
So you judged it.
You have to judge it yourself. It's kind of in there, went under the boat, but if you put your foot and the boat was the little one was at one side of you, it would have gone down the side a bit.
Yeah.
You had to jump off the what is it was saying, jump. But I mean you were still having to judge it yourself.
Yeah.
You know how far, you know, what to what height the scrambling net you had to jump off.